Thank you for joining us for today's podcast. Listen after the podcast for more information about TPC DeQuincy.
And we owe a deep, deep gratitude for those who have given their lives, and we're very thankful. Why don't you just look at your neighbor and tell them something nice? Hey, I'm glad to see you this morning. Glad that you're in church. I'm glad that you came out today. Now, if you have your Bibles, would you go to the book of 1 Peter, chapter 4? As Ryan's already mentioned, to all of our guests, we welcome you. We thank you for being here. Pardon me. Here's a little humor for you, just maybe to make you smile. It was Palm Sunday, but because of a sore throat, five-year-old Craig wasn't able to make it to church, so his family hired a babysitter for him, and so he had to stay home. And when the family returned, they all came in with palm branches. And little five-year-old Craig inquired, he's like, what do y'all have palm branches for? And the father responded, well, people held them over Jesus' head as he walked by. And little Craig said, wouldn't you know it, the Sunday I don't go and he shows up. First Peter chapter 4 and verse 19. Therefore, let those who suffer according to the will of God commit their souls to him in doing good as to a faithful creator. God bless you. You can be seated. You may not need this lesson this morning, but you might need it a month from now or 6 months from now. So I hope that you would pay attention for just a few minutes. You know, I found out that when problems and difficulties arise in Christians' lives, many times they come to me and they say, well, I think that God may be mad at me. Or another thing they say is, God may be punishing me. Here's another thing I've heard. I'm having this problem, and because of it, maybe I'm out of the will of God. Well, I want to come alongside you this morning and just show to you through the word of the Lord that the Bible teaches that God's will includes a positive use of our problems. I want you to look at 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 12. It says this, beloved, do not think it strange concerning the fiery trials, which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened to you. Peter, in other words, is saying, look, when you go through a fiery trial, don't think, man, nobody goes through anything like this that's a Christian. Peter is saying that's simply not true. Don't think that it's a strange thing, because God has a use for the problems that come into your life. Number one, if you're following me in the TPC app, you can actually go in and fill in the blank. Here it is. God uses problems to direct me. Here's what Proverbs 20 and 30 says. Blows that hurt cleanse away evil. What does that mean? In other words, it means that sometimes it takes a painful experience to make us change our ways. Are you with me now? See, we don't change when we see the light. We change when we feel the heat. C.S. Lewis said this, God speaks to us in our pleasures, but God shouts to us in our pain. Why does pain come? Because normally we don't change until we get miserable. I've had a saying, and I say it a lot. If you don't hate it, you will tolerate it. You can say, man, I don't like this, and I wish this would change, and I wish this was different. But the fact is, if you don't hate it, you will tolerate it no matter what it is. You have to get to a point that you say, I'm tired of being broke. I'm tired of being busted and disgusted, and I'm sick of it. And guess what? That's actually not a bad place. That is a good place, because that is the turning point in your life. When you hate it, then change starts happening. Make no doubt about it, brothers and sisters. God uses problems to direct us. God uses a problem to say, you know what? I want your attention. You're going the wrong way. We see this in the life of Jonah. Jonah disobeys. He gets on a ship. He's headed to Tarshish. He's going east. And God says, no, you're going the wrong way. He sends a great fish, swallows him up. He takes him in the right direction, and then he spits him out. Here's what I get from that. Sometimes God uses a problem to get you going the right way. And when that problem spits you out, you're in the right direction. You're going the way God wants you to go, because he had to do that to get your attention. I want to preach to somebody this morning that's going through a problem. God loves you so much that he'll send a problem your way to get your attention. You say, I don't believe that. Well, the prodigal son says, you know what? My name is Jimmy. Give me, give me, give me. His daddy gave him the inheritance. He went and spent it on a party lifestyle, doing whatever. But eventually he ends up in a pig pen, and he can't even eat the slop that the pigs are eating. That's how bad it is. But if you read in the book of Luke, this is what it says. And he came to himself. And you may think, man, a problem is bad. Not really, if it gets you to come to yourself. Because he was headed in the wrong direction. But once he eventually came to himself, guess what happened? That problem changed his direction, and he started going back to the Father's house. I don't know what problem you're facing this morning, but if you came here because you're facing a problem, guess what? It means God loves you enough that he's willing to allow you to get to the end of yourself and the end of your rope, so you can realize you're not the boss and you're not the CEO, and you need to humble yourself and say, God, I can't do this by myself. Can I get a witness? You know, we rarely change. We rarely change until we get desperate. The fact is that God uses all kinds of problems to push us, to prod us, and to prompt us. He uses problems as a catalyst to motivate us, to get us to going. You know, I'm sure that we've all found ourselves in the place where we were praying, God, spare me from this. God, I don't want to have to go through this. None of us like harsh times. None of us like trials. None of us like problems. Nobody wants to go through it. So we pray for God to have mercy on us and to really spare us and help us to avoid these problems on the horizon. But you know, brothers and sisters, that really reveals a lack of understanding on our part. I could get off into some New Testament scripture, and I'm not going to stay here long, but many times they didn't pray for deliverance. You never see where Daniel prayed for deliverance. You don't see where Paul and Silas prayed for deliverance. And I know that's probably in our nature. We don't want to go through things, but many times it is a problem that gets you to where you need to be. Can I get a witness? See, it was problems in Joseph's life. It was the conflicts. It was the setbacks. It was the betrayals that developed him into the person that God wanted to use. See, this is an underlining theme when you look all from Genesis all the way to Revelation. It is an underlining theme that runs through the entire Bible, and it's found in the lives of some of our most beloved characters in the Word of God. And it is this, please get this, God doesn't fit the dream for the person when he calls them. I'm going to say that again. God doesn't fit the dream for the person when he calls them. He calls them, and then he creates in them the person they need to be to fit the dream. Are you with me? See, the purpose is not created to fit us. We're created to fit into his purpose. See, the coat of many colors that Joseph started with was way too small to accommodate the person that Joseph had grown into. Now, I'm going to extrapolate some of the lesson from Wednesday night. And by the way, if you're not in life groups on Wednesday night, you missed an incredible lesson this past Wednesday night. I'm going to extrapolate some of that. There's four coats that Joseph wore. Okay, basically four coats. First of all, it was the favorite coat of his father Jacob. It was the coat of many colors. It was a prestigious thing. It was basically letting all of his brothers know that Jacob is the favorite son. It's the coat of many colors, his first coat. The second coat that he wore is the servant's coat in Potiphar's house. He wore that coat as a servant. The third coat is the warden's coat that he wore in prison. And then the fourth coat that he wore is prime minister of Egypt. Now, he changed coats four different times, but the dream always stayed the same. What are you saying, Pastor? Here's what I'm saying. When he faced this problem, he faced the rejection of his brothers. He did not know that the rejection of his brothers was God's direction for his life. See, people's rejection of you can be many times God's direction for you. Man, I wished I had time to preach this morning, because I so bad, when I was young, wanted to be a part of a certain clique and a certain club. I wanted to be a part of certain ministers. I was born in a minister's home, and there was a group I wanted to be a part of, but they rejected me. They just didn't have anything to do with me. And I'm going to just tell you, you know, rejection hurts no matter who you are. Come on, I have three honest people here this morning. If you've ever been rejected, that's one of the lowest human emotions that you can feel, because every one of us want to be accepted. And when I was rejected, I just, you know, I went introspective and I said, God, what's wrong with me? Why don't they like me? What am I doing wrong? And now, after I have some payment behind me and I'm a little older, I look back and I realize God never wanted me to be a part of that. Because if I'd have been a part of that, that would have put me on the wrong road with the wrong group. And hey, they're good guys and I want them to be saved, but that's not who I was supposed to be a part of. See, you thinking that, man, I faced this and I felt this, and you know what? Rejection hurts. But can I tell you that God uses the good, he uses the bad, he uses the ugly to fulfill his purpose and his will in your life. God uses problems to direct you. Did that make sense? See, I don't believe that Joseph was ready for the palace at age 17. That's when historians basically tell us that he got thrown into the pit, was around 17 years of age. I don't think he was ready. You probably don't either. But 13 years of facing problems got him prepared for where God wanted him to go. Instead of cursing your problems, you need to ask the question, God, how are you going to use this to make me into the person you want me to be? You know, because here's what we normally do when we face a problem. We want to run. Man, I wish I had time. We want to run. You know why? Because it's in our human nature. We want to run. But guess what? God don't operate like the school system does. He don't let you make a failing grade and pass you anyway. Guess what? So you leave this one, you're going to meet this one. They're going to have a different name and a different face, but it's going to be the same problem. Well, I'm glad I got five people with me this morning. Don't run. Don't run, because you're going to meet that problem in the next town, in the next person, because God's got a purpose for your life. Does that make sense? See, here's the interesting thing. When Joseph saw his brothers in Egypt, he recognized them immediately. He knew exactly who they were, because by and large, they were the same people they had been 13 years ago. They had not changed. They were still little men who were grappling over little things, small, trivial stuff. They did not recognize him. They did not see the little brother in his face as they stared at him now. Well, how could they? How could they? Because he had changed. He had grown. the colorful coat that he wore as a 17-year-old was a thing of the past. Now he's got on the premier coat. He's the second most powerful man in all of Egypt. See, the coat changed many times, but the dream stayed the same. And there's going to be opportunities, ladies and gentlemen, in your life that you're going to look back and you're going to see all the things, the hurtful things, the rejection. You're going to see the hard times, the things you struggled against. You're going to realize that those were the very things that promoted you and changed you into being the person that God wanted you to be. So here's what problems do. Number one, they direct us. Number two, God often uses problems to inspect us. Deuteronomy chapter 8 and verse 2 says, "And the Lord led you all the way into the desert these 40 years to test you in order to see what was in your heart." They spent 40 years, and I can't get into this, but there were 7 tests that they had to go through, and they failed all the tests. And guess what? They all died in the wilderness because they failed those 7 tests. They failed them. See, problems reveal what's on the inside of us. Here's a quote somebody said. Somebody said, "Christians are like tea bags. You don't know what's inside them until you put them in hot water." Some of you, man, you know, we're all guilty. I'm not just preaching to you. I'm preaching to me. But you know what? Sometimes we go through stuff and then we say things and we're like, "Whoa, where'd that come from?" I can tell you where it came from. Out of the heart, the mouth speaks. When you squeeze some toothpaste, guess what comes out? Toothpaste. You know what? When you get in hot water, guess what comes out? The real you. That's why God allows problems to inspect us, because we have blind spots. We have things that we don't see. That's why God gives you a wife. You thought it was for one thing, and God saw, you know, he's got a great sense of humor because he uses this one thing that I won't tell you to get you involved in this, but then it like flips. And now she becomes God's mirror in your life. And you really thought you were all that in a bag of chips till you get married. I wish I had some real people up in here today. Y'all acting all holy. Y'all ain't that holy. Y'all ain't that spiritual. I know better. You know what she does? She shows you your blind spots. She shows you your weaknesses. She shows you where you're failing. Nobody, I don't get any more aggravated at anybody than Janet. Now I'm doing a lot better, but why? Because she showed me myself. And I didn't like seeing myself. You know what? I didn't mind seeing this, especially when I had hair. I didn't mind. Now it's not so fun to look, but you know, 30 years ago it was a little better. But you know what? Janet wasn't showing me this. She was showing me this. And when I saw this, I was like, "Ooh, I don't like that." Anybody with me on this? See, the way you purify metal is you got to turn up the heat. Does that make sense? And when you turn up the heat, what you do is you begin to remove away the impurities. I think I told you this, but it bears repeating. Someone asked a silversmith one time, it says, "How do you know when the silver is pure?" And he said, "When I can see my reflection in it. When I can look in and see my reflection, then I know it's pure." See, when people look at you and they see God, guess what? You didn't get there by yourself. There's a lot of problems that begin to pull the impurities out of you. See, you know what you really want? You want people to be able to say, "I sense the love of God in you. I feel peace when I'm around you." What is that? That's God having refined you so that you reflect his image. See, this is the reason why none of us should be judgmental and condescending, because God never was. To the prostitute, he took time for her. To the tax collector, he said, come and follow me and we'll get this figured out. Why? Because that is the love of Christ. That is the reflection of Christ. People are going through enough hell. They need to feel some love coming from people. They need to feel some love coming from Christians. Don't misconstrue what I'm saying. I'm not saying that there's not right and wrong. There is right and wrong. There is a heaven and there is a hell. There are things we should do and things we shouldn't do. But ladies and gentlemen, you're not God and I'm not either. God wants us to love people. Love Him, love people. Invite people into our space. That's the love of Christ. Come on, give God 5 seconds of praise here. Here's number three. God uses problems to correct us. See, every problem can be a teaching tool. God may want to teach us about ourselves, about our weakness, and things that we don't recognize, the blind spots and the problems, and that's the only way to get our attention. Catch this. Catch this. The fact is, we're never willing to face ourselves until we're forced to. We're never willing to face ourselves until we're forced to. We don't like to face ourselves. One of the hardest problems in all of your life is going to be to get honest. Why? Because living a lie is harder than living the truth. Are you with me? Yes, it is. When we face the truth about ourselves. See, an iceberg, they say when you see an iceberg, only 10% is at the top. The other 90% is below. That's a thought. See, what you see is you only see 10% when you see this. And what's so sad is we judge the 90 by what we see here. When there's 90 inside of here. Jesus said, listen, don't worry about what you eat, because whatever you eat, that's going to get digested and then you're going to remove that. He said, worry about what's in here, because out of the abundance of the heart is where mouth, where you speak, where you live your life. That's what's important. Yeah, we need to be modest. Of course we do. Yes, we do. But there's so much going on inside of here that we don't face it unless we have a problem that forces us to face ourselves. Hebrews 12:7 says this, if you endure chastening, God deals with you as with sons. For what son is there among a father that does not chasten him? In other words, I had to be careful here because I know I'm speaking to a wide range of beliefs. But the Bible does say this, that if you spare the rod, you spoil the child. Now, I know it's going to get quiet, and you don't have to agree with me, but you're welcome to be wrong. See, the fact is that if you're a good father, you're going to chasten your children. See, the reason why the world right now is going crazy is because there's so much abuse. I am 100% against abuse. Abuse is wrong in all shapes and forms and fashions. But abuse normally with a child is done out of anger. You snatch that child up because you're angry. But discipline is done out of love. And again, you don't have to agree with me. I know we're living in changing times. But you know what? Trey got that, and Molly did too. Now, Trey will tell you Molly got less, and he may be right. But she did get it. They both did. And they're okay today. When you do something with your children, do it in love. God never snatches us up out of anger. Never. Never. But He will snatch us up out of love. And He will use a problem to say, you know what? I'm using this to direct you. I'm using this to inspect you. And I'm using this to correct you. Because you're my child and I don't want that behavior in my child. I want you reflecting me. The gifts of the Spirit, the fruits of the Spirit, which is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, and self-control. Yes, can I preach this morning? God wants us to exhibit self-control. There's sometimes when you get mad, you just need to walk away, take a 10-second break, because if you don't, you're going to say stuff that you'll regret, and God never did. Here's number four. You ready? God uses problems to protect us. Say, how does that work? Well, look at 1 Peter 3 and 17. For it is better. Say better. Better. It is better if the will of God be so that you suffer for doing good than doing evil. What does that mean? Well, here's the prime example. Joseph suffered for doing good. I want to juxtapose two guys here. Joseph was enticed to commit adultery with Potiphar's wife. Now check this out. This is even before the Ten Commandments. You got to think about that. Genesis is before Moses' law. How did he know it was wrong? Because Moses' law spelled out what was wrong. He had God with him. And the Lord let him know before there's even a law, this is wrong. And so he ran from Potiphar's wife. And he got in major trouble because then Potiphar came home and he had to believe his wife more than he did Joseph. So he threw him in prison. Now here's the next guy. David gives in and commits adultery. And he suffers. One is suffering because he's running from adultery. Another one is suffering because he commits adultery. So you can suffer for doing the wrong thing. But check this out. It was that problem in his life that landed him in prison. Now, because he was in prison, he was at the right place at the right time to meet the butler and the baker. God gave him the interpretation of the dream. And 2 years later, those guys remembered. Pharaoh called him up, and that's when he became second in command. Sometimes, brothers and sisters, God uses a problem to protect you from others and says, this is God's witness protection program, and I'm going to put you right here because this is where you need to be. Because I got somebody that's going to come in contact with you and they're going to lead you to the next person that's going to be a key in your life. Sometimes problems protect you. Does that make sense? All right. Here's number five. Most of all, God uses problems to perfect us. Now, when you look at that word perfect, that doesn't mean what you think it means. That word doesn't mean that you never make a mistake. The word perfect in the scripture means maturity. God uses problems to mature us. That's exactly what was happening 13 years in Joseph's life. God was maturing him so he could get to the point of being second in command, and it didn't go to his head because God put him there not only to save his family but to save an entire nation. Right? So see, you may not understand. When I was going, Jen and I were going through some things in Columbia, Maryland, just fighting really for our lives. Little did I realize that God was preparing me for here. Can I preach? See, you got to live just a little bit of time until you get some payment. So then that way you can look back on your life and you look back and you say, oh, that makes sense now. When you were going through that hell, it didn't make sense. But when you came through it and God started using that for his glory, then you look back and you said, now I get it. I had to go through that because that right there was preparing me for this. And if I hadn't have gone through that, this could have destroyed me. See, God is using problems in your life for so many different ways, and we're praying for deliverance, and God is saying, no, I want to put a new coat of authority on you. I want to take you a place that only your dreams could take you. Your dreams is what is the impetus for your destiny to help you get to where God wants you to be. Can somebody give God some praise in this house? Come on, give him your best praise. See, so God uses problems to perfect us. Romans 8 and 28, one of our favorite life scriptures. All things, say all things, not some things, all things, work together for good to them that love God. Now, you got to understand something. Those that don't love God, all their problems are not working for them. This only applies to those who love God. They are working for good to them that love the Lord, to them that are called according to his purpose. Now, lean into this. This is very important. Wake up. You ready? What is the number one purpose of God working in all of our lives? Let me say it again. What is God's number one purpose in our life? It's not to make you happy. Happiness is a byproduct of his number one purpose. God's number one purpose in our life is to change our character and to make us like himself. That is the number one purpose of God. Then how does God do that, Pastor? He does it two ways. The first way he does it is through his word. Romans 12 says this, do not be conformed to this world. In other words, don't swim in the culture of this world. Do not be conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. How does God change us? He changes us through his word. Can I preach for a minute? That's why you need to get off of a lot of social media and a lot of network, because it's all negative and it always brings you down. And if it bleeds, it leads, because it's fear-mongering. And they want to get you to think that everything is wrong with America. I'm going to tell you, there's still a lot of God-fearing people that love God and want to do what's right. The other way that God changes us is through circumstances, is through problems, through trials, through difficulties, through heartbreaks, through rejection, through betrayals. See, God uses all of those things in our life. I want to get practical with you this morning. I want to get real with you. Some of you right now are going through some major problems in your life. And you feel like you're hanging on by a thread. First of all, I want to encourage you, whatever you do, stay afloat. Because tough times don't last, but tough people do. Are you with me? You can make it. Sometimes you don't feel like you can, but you can. You can make it. So what do you do? What do you do when you feel like you're sitting there this morning and you say, Pastor, if I could have a sidebar with you, I would tell you about a problem I'm going through, it'd blow your mind. Well, first of all, I'm very sorry that you're going through that, and I mean that sincerely. But I want to encourage you with something. Here it is. There's a few things that I hope you can hang on to. Number one, God sees everything that you are going through. Hang on to that. That's an anchor point. Hang on to it. God sees everything that you are going through. Because I know a little bit about his word, the sun never sets on God's sight. Even in the darkest of night, it's like noonday. He sees exactly what is going on. He knows what's happening. Are you with me? See, we have a tendency to forget that. We think, well, God doesn't know that my house payment is due in 3 days. Yes, he does. If he knows the very hair on your head and they're all numbered individually, he knows where you're at. Well, God doesn't know that I've been in this horrible marriage and I've been enduring this marriage for a long time. Yes, he does. He knows that. Well, God doesn't know about the idiots that are on my job and the mess that I'm facing. Yes, he knows. God sees everything you're going through. Look at three people and tell them that, please. God sees everything. Everything you're going through. He sees it. He sees it. Here's number two. Regardless of the cause of our problems, God can use it in your life. Too often, stay with me, too often we spend too much time trying to figure out why. Why did this problem happen? Why is this happening to me? That's what we try to, we fry our brain. Y'all, I'm going to be transparent. When I was going through some heartbreak, I thousands of times it was a loop in my head. If I wouldn't have said this, if I wouldn't have done that, if I would have been here instead of there. Not that I committed any sin. I did not commit any moral sin. There was just some things I could have done differently. And I thought over and over and over in my mind, if I would have done this different, if I would have done that different. And I'm telling you, that went on for years. years until I have finally realized that God uses the good, He uses the bad, and He uses the ugly in our life. Does that make sense? And so many times we try to figure out why. Why did this happen to me? Why was I born in this family? Why was I rejected? Why was I betrayed? Why? Well, let me help you with something, if I may, please. Sometimes we bring things on ourselves. Sometimes we're just innocent bystanders. Have nothing to do with it. Sometimes it's part of our genetic heredity. Sometimes it's just part of being in a world full of sin. We don't know all the reasons. But regardless of what caused the problems, God can use it for good in your life. I want to encourage you this morning. God can change the situation. He can heal that sickness. He can reverse that bankruptcy. He can turn that marriage around. He can change the situation, because with God, all things are possible. And you say, Pastor, if that's true, then why isn't He doing it? If what you just told me is true, why isn't He doing it? Well, you know, some of you have been praying over this problem for a long time. Why hasn't He changed it? Here's number four: because God wants to change you first. God wants to change you first. See, God sees our problem. He knows exactly what's going on. He could change it. He could do it in an instant. But He wants to change. He doesn't want to change it because He wants to change you first. Why is that? Because God is way more interested in your character than He is your comfort. Because you're going to be comfortable in heaven for a billion years, but you ain't going to get there if you don't have His character. For a billion times a billion years, you're going to get to enjoy the presence of Jesus, but you're not going to make it if you don't have the character of Christ. Therefore, that's why He's not so concerned of pulling you out, because that problem's helping you get that next coat. Because He's got a purpose and He has a dream for your life. And He wants you to fit inside of that. Does that make sense? So instead of saying, Lord, would You please change the situation? Here's what I was doing for so many years. God, would You change this situation? And God knows I prayed this. Would You please change Janet? God, would You please change her? And here's what I come to find out. He wants to change me. He wants to change me. So now what I do is I ask myself this question. Lord, are You using this problem to direct me? If so, what do You want me to change? What new direction do You want me to take? Because see, we only change when we get miserable. Right now, I just want you to know I'm preaching this message to me. Right now, I'm miserable in an area of my life. Not in many areas. And my relationships is great. Jan and I are doing better than we've ever done in our life. Our relationships with our kids are great. That's great. There is something in me that I'm absolutely miserable. And to be honest with you, I want to run. You know why? Because that seems to be a lot easier than to allow God to take what He's trying to make out of me and say, yes, Lord. Here I am. So make me, God, what You want me to be. Because can I tell you, after 40 years of living for the Lord, I still haven't arrived. And according to what my dad tells me, I never will. So guess what? God's just going to keep working on you, because He wants to make you like Him. And He wants your life to be full of good fruit. Did that just make sense? So then here's what you do. Then you say, Lord, are You using this problem to inspect me? Are You using it to direct me? Are You using it to inspect me? What does this reveal about my life? Does it reveal a weakness in my life? Does it reveal a misplaced priority? Does it reveal an unchristlike attitude? Does it reveal a compromise? So God, what do you want me to learn? And God is teaching me something through what I'm going through right now about myself. And then you pray, Lord, are you using this problem to correct me? Am I reaping something that I've sowed? Many times what I tell the Hope House guys is, listen, you can't come in here and get Christ in your life and then expect everything to be hunky-dory. I'm sorry to tell you this, but now you got to reap all those seeds that you sowed. God don't work that way. He doesn't violate his own law. So am I having to reap something that I sowed? Maybe I brought this on myself. Here's what I want you to remember. Don't ask why, please. Ask what. What do you want me to learn from this problem? I'm hastening. And then five, Lord, are you using this problem to mature me, to help me to change, to help me to grow, to help me become more like you? See, God is at work in your life even when you don't understand it. God is working in your life even when you don't understand it. Would you stand? Let me wrap this up. I heard a story about God building a great tapestry. The front of the tapestry looks good, but the backside looks bad. It's got all those threads on the backside. It's got all those knots. Say, man, when you're looking up and you see that tapestry, boy, that don't look too good. But that's just because you're seeing the underbelly of it. When God looks down, he's seeing the front of it. And he says, man, I'm really creating a masterpiece here. Because he gets to see the front of what that tapestry looks like. Have you ever seen a rug that looked nice on the top and you flipped it over and it looks kind of ugly? See, what you're doing right now is you're looking at your life kind of, you're looking at it on this way. You're seeing all the setbacks and the betrayals and the heartaches, and you're seeing this knot and this over here doesn't make sense. And God's looking down and saying, man, I'm good. I'm creating something so beautiful in your life. I don't know what you're going through this morning, but here's what I do know. God's going to use that problem. He's going to use it to direct you. He's going to use it to inspect you. He's going to use it to correct you. Then he's going to use that problem to perfect you. So don't run from the beautiful work that God is wanting to do in your life. If you're here this morning and a problem brought you here, guess what? That's a good thing. Now, don't abort the opportunity. Swallow your pride and say, Lord, I surrender to you. Here's the first thing you ought to do is you ought to give your life to Christ. How do I do that? I repent of my sins. I ask God to forgive me. And then guess what? He knows I can't do it by myself, so he fills me with his Spirit called the gift of the Holy Ghost, so that he can empower me to live this life and overcome sin and sickness and disease and problems that I face. Did that just make sense? Don't squander this opportunity. If you're here because of a problem, humble yourself and say, you know what? I can't do this by myself, God. I've got to have you. Would you bow your head? I'm going to pray over you this morning. Lord, we just come to you today, and none of us like problems. None of us do. But Lord, would you use it for the good in our life? Would you use it to direct us? Maybe you want us to go in a new direction. Maybe you want us to relate to our husband, to our wife, to our kids in a different way. Or would you use this problem to inspect me and to help me to see my blind spots and things that you want to change in me before you change this situation? Lord, would you use this problem to correct me? And would you use it, God, to help me to get on the path that you want me to be on, so that I don't live my life in a circle, but I go forward in Christ? Would you use this problem to protect me from things I probably couldn't handle if it were to happen to me. And mostly, God, would you use it to perfect me? Would you put in me the qualities that you want there so that I can be that complete and mature person, so that when people look at me, they see a reflection of you in us? I want to be that kind of person. I don't want to run from my problems, God. I want to surrender to your will. I ask, Lord, that you would protect us as we go about, Lord, this weekend. Keep us. We want to thank you again for every man, woman, even boy and girl that perhaps, Lord, gave their service to this great country. Speak to hearts today. We may leave this place, but Lord, we don't want to ever leave your presence. We want the seed of this word to lodge, Lord, in our spirit. Help us to change, because we can't change ourselves. In Jesus' name.
We pray that today's message has blessed you. For more about TPC DeQuincy, go to our website, tpcdq.church. Please join us Wednesday night at 7 p.m., Sunday morning at 10 a.m., Sunday night at 6 p.m. TPC is located at 301 West 4th Street in DeQuincy. TPC, loving God and loving people.